Dear friends, I greet you in Jesus' name. Today our texts are about love. You can hardly miss that fairly obvious point, and it's not a bad topic for Mother's Day, is it? Nor for any other day of the year, really. But when I first saw these texts, I admit that I said, "Really, Lord? Love? Everyone knows about love. Isn't that a little bland, a little trite? Do we really need a sermon on love?" And then this thought came to me. Think about it. Look around. It's not what you think. They know. But then again, they don't know. Well, thinking that this just could be the voice of the Holy Spirit, I started to think about it. I did a little looking around, and this is what I found. The topic of love is everywhere, and love is highly valued. If you were to doubt that at all, just take a look at Facebook. It's just lifted up on every page. Everyone values love, but there is also a crying need for love, and you don't need to look very far to see that this is true. So, let's talk about love. It's a favorite theme, if not the number one theme, of books and movies. Various forms of art, and especially music, lift up the power of love. Love has been the source and motivation of many great deeds. But some people seem to have missed out on real love. Globally, children are orphaned or abandoned through war or natural disaster. The slave trade is growing internationally, whether for sex or for labor, and this has its impact on people of all ages. There are a lot of people in the world who don't know love, and they are crying out for it. Let's look a little closer to home. In America, there are many healthy expressions of love. Strong marriages and families, people reaching out to others in random acts of kindness and through fundraising efforts. And it's always uplifting to read these stories. But at the same time, our culture tends to superficialize love. Just flip through one of the popular magazines, like People. Almost every article, every ad, treats love in a superficial way. Who's dating whom? How to find real passion? How to make yourself more attractive? One article caught my eye. It was by a woman who was recently married, a young woman. She lamented the fact that there was no longer anything on TV for young married women like her. It's all about the single scene, and now she felt out of the loop. The 20-something generation has been called the most connected generation ever. It is also the most isolated. And isn't it ironic that today the phrase making love can at times be used to describe gratification, but without love itself present? Let's face it. Our culture doesn't always know love, yet it is crying out for it. Let's focus one step closer. What about you and me? Everyone wants love in their lives. We want to love and to be loved. You may have noticed the license plates that my husband and I have on our cars. One of them says J-A-B, heart, J-C-B. The other says JCB, heart, JAB. Well, I'm JAB. Jim is JCB. That's not hard to figure out. But what I like most is that my car doesn't say I love Jim, but it says Jim loves me. It's wonderful to love. It's even better to be on the receiving end. Well, what about those who have no one to love them? Around Christmas time, our son Peter took his family to a homeless shelter where they donated some food. They happened to get there around the supper hour, and so his small children got their first glimpse of people who were homeless as they were lined up for a hot meal. Peter tried to explain their situation to his 7-year-old son. No job, no money, no house, no food. But what his little boy couldn't wrap his mind around was this: no family. No family, he exclaimed. He couldn't imagine it. Nobody to live with, no one to care for each other, to love. That was beyond his scope. We are created as social beings. We wither and die without human contact. Some go crazy. Prison authorities report that the most cruel punishment of all is to put an inmate into isolation for a lengthy period of time. We are relational beings. We need friends, family, loved ones. Relationships are the building blocks of our society, beginning with marriage and family. We cry out for love. Jesus knew this. He talked about love. He talked about love a lot. He told people God loved them with a great and lasting love. He talked about loving their neighbors and even their enemies. He told them not to waste their love on things. You may have heard it said, love people, use things. But so often, we do the exact opposite. We use people and love things. In two of our lessons today, we are commanded to love one another. The whole New Testament is filled with discussions about love, and it all starts with Jesus. In fact, it strikes me that the Christian focus on love is unique among world religions. In our lesson today, Jesus teaches his disciples how to love. It's not the superficial kind. Jesus' love remains. It lasts. He says, "This is how you remain in my love." His love is not that of a fickle lover, but that of a loyal and steadfast friend, a love that remains through thick and thin. Jesus does more than talk about love. He shows his disciples how to love. He models love by washing their feet like a common slave, by giving up his life for them on the cross. Love goes the extra mile. Love doesn't worry about position or pride. Love sometimes requires sacrifice. Did you notice that Jesus never uses the word feel? Instead, he commands love. Now, you can't command a feeling, right? You can't require someone to feel love for you or for anyone else. But you can command an action. Love is not dependent on feelings. Feelings are roller coasters. Feelings are not dependable. They can be influenced by a poor night of sleep or a stubbed toe. Love isn't always a feeling, but it is always an action. A young family had as their motto, "Love is action, love is sacrifice." And so the father shouldn't have been surprised when his little girl, aged 8, put it into practice. They had gone to the petting zoo, conveniently located right next to a hardware store. So Dad gave each of his children, ages 5 and 8, a quarter for their entrance fee, and then he took off to check out some tools. He was absorbed in his search until he realized that his little girl was trailing along behind him, looking forlorn. He picked her up and said, "Why aren't you at the petting zoo?" And she said, "Because it costs 50 cents to get in. And so I gave my quarter to Johnny." And then with tears running down her face, she repeated the family motto, "Love is sacrifice." Well, what do you think her dad did next? Perhaps not what you think. Although he had 50 cents burning a hole in his pocket, he restrained himself from giving it to her. Instead, he allowed her sacrifice to be complete as together, from the other side of the fence, they watched Johnny pet those little furry animals. Dad never offered the entrance fee to his daughter, and she never asked for it. You see, love always pays a price. Love always costs something. Love is expensive. When you love, benefits accrue to the account of somebody else. Love is for the other, not for yourself. Love gives. It doesn't grab. That little girl gave her quarter to her brother, and she wanted to follow through to the end. She wanted to live up to her family motto. Love is action. Love is sacrifice. That's what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples that night, the night that he was betrayed, the night before he gave his life on the cross. It was the most important lesson that he could give, a lesson on love. It is love, Jesus taught, that makes his followers stand out. In fact, it is the distinguishing mark of all Christians. Is that true for you? Do you stand out because of your love? Does St. Timothy's stand out because of its love? If that makes you feel a little uncomfortable, it should. It has the same effect on me. It makes me think, would someone know that I'm a Christian based on the way I love? Boy, I hope so, but there are days when I am not so sure. Or put it another way, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? It all comes down to the way you act out your love. How many extra miles would you go? Back in the days before cell phones, a salesman called his wife from a distant city, and of course he had to use a pay phone. Remember those? Yeah. When his coins ran out, he quickly said goodbye and hung up. And as he started to walk away, the phone rang. He picked it up, expecting that he would be informed of extra charges. But the operator said, "I thought you would like to know. Just after you hung up, your wife said, 'I love you.'" You know, sometimes it's what you don't have to do that counts. It's that reaching out, and very often it takes very simple forms. Love goes that extra mile. William Temple, former Archbishop of Canterbury, said this: "The Christian church is unique among all human institutions because it alone is chiefly concerned with those who are outside its own life. The church is to be outward directed, not inward directed. Its entire reason for being is to reach out to those still outside the faith, to attract and change them, to offer a gift, the love of God, a love so much greater than your own." A hardened addict was once roaming the streets of San Francisco looking for a way to end his life. On a whim, he entered into one of City Team's recovery centers. There he was greeted by a guy who treated him like his long-lost brother. The man said later, "He was just this little guy, but he was full of God's love. You could just feel it. I was a total mess, but this guy loved me." And what a huge impact that had on my life. The addict, from that day forward, found hope in Christ, and his life was turned around. You and I are Christians. Loving others should be a driving force in all we do. Christians cannot stand still. We should be restless, always looking for someone to serve. It's not enough to find a like-minded congregation, comfortable and cozy like an old shoe. and settle in. We should not be wearing loafers, but running shoes. That's who we are as Christians. That's the distinguishing mark of all of Jesus' followers. Moving out, not settling in. Because that's the way God loves us. Henry Nouwen was a priest, a brilliant theologian, and a popular speaker. But then his superior assigned him a task that at first seemed a waste of Nouwen's talents, the care of a severely handicapped man. Every day, it took Nouwen 2 hours to help him dress, get him into a wheelchair, and feed him as the man drooled and grunted but showed no signs of comprehension. Nouwen said later it was hard at first, but gradually he saw that this is what it must be like for God to love us. Spiritually uncoordinated, retarded, able to respond with what must seem to God like inarticulate grunts and groans. And yet, God loves us. He takes time with each one of us and places a high value on our relationship with him. Ultimately, Nouwen concluded that the goal of every Christian is to continually recognize the Lord's voice, face, and touch in every person we meet. Jesus said, "Love one another the way I have loved you." That's a pretty high standard. He loves you with a very great love. In fact, you and I are rich in love. Our bank account is full. We can afford to be lavish with love because God has poured it out on you and me in extravagant ways, extravagant amounts. Can you spend God's extravagant love on someone else? It takes some work. It takes some time and some intentionality. So how do you do that? Well, here are a few steps. First, you pray, asking God to fill you with his love. And remember, love is not primarily a feeling. You read your Bible, being reminded of all that God has done for his people, how he has been utterly faithful. You read on, reflecting on the blessings that God has given you, how he has filled your life with people who have loved and cared for you, how he sent his son to die for you. And then you thank him for all of these things. And as he fills your heart with gratitude, ask him who you might reach out to, how you might serve that person. And then you take the first few steps in obedience to Jesus' command to love. Just start with one. Befriend that person. It may take some time. It may take some effort. It may require a sacrifice. But as followers of Jesus, we have no option. It is his way. It is the only way. He commands us. You know, when it comes to love, we may not know as much as we think. Love seems like such a simple thing, so universal, so well known. We may ask, do we really need a lesson on love? But as it turns out, love is so profound, so needed. We can never learn enough. People cry out for love. And yet so often they settle for a cheap substitute of the real thing. Henry Miller, the American writer, said, "The one thing we can never get enough of is love. And the one thing we can never give enough is love." Jesus says, we are the ones to do it. It's not an option. It's a command for all his followers. And it's possible because of the way that Jesus first loved us. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, you have given us love. You have created us as people who need love and also who need to love others. Lord, fill us with your love. Teach us how to love. And show each one of us somebody to love, starting today. For we pray in your name. Amen. Our next